what say my brothers about just this kind of 10,000 foot overview about life in the ecclesia that I covered?
It was very edifying, brother. I think you zoomed in a little bit further than 10,000 feet, though.
Maybe 8,000.
Yeah, it was very good. I think you covered a ton of stuff.
What sticks out? What sticks out at you? Or what did I miss?
I'm not sure what you missed. You covered a ton of stuff. Did you get to Philippians 2?
No, sir.
Okay, I'm gonna read Philippians 2. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
You covered a ton of stuff. It's awesome. Just this thought as well, that body life with saints, it kind of knits you together to the point where you're of the same mind, you're like-minded, you have the same love, you're of one accord, like you talked about it, but some things that it shows up as, in like we'll be discussing something, and then usually something that just happens. Two brothers have the same thought at the same time with the same scripture, and one of them just happens to get to it first, right?
Yeah, amen.
It's the same spirit and the same mind being of one accord, and that's why it's harmony and unity in the Spirit.
Yeah.
It's probably the most beautiful thing on earth.
Yeah, and I have a question. All these people that don't strive for any of this, you just read another verse on one mind. There's many of them in the scriptures that everybody just ignores. Oh, you can't have unity. You can't all agree. And it's like, no, the Bible says we can. You're calling my Father, the Spirit, the Word, the Son. You're calling them liars. But I have a question. What does everybody think heaven's going to be like? They think there's going to be 40,000 denominations up there? They think everybody's going to pick and choose what they like? I mean, there is going to be unity, and it's going to be the sound doctrine, and it's going to be Spirit-led. And it's going to be of the one faith delivered once, as Jude says. We got to strive for that here to be ready for that there. Doesn't that make sense?
Yeah, they're all kind of ironic. They all talk about unity, 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 but their unity is with sin and compromise.
Yeah.
And when it gets to biblical unity, it's like, nah, not possible, not happening.
Yeah. Yeah. What say you other brothers?
This verse came to mind, Colossians 3:14, above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. That word charity is agape, and like 70 plus times it is translated as love, so I would rather read it, above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfectness. And this verse in John 17 came to mind while you were reading things. John 17:11. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep thou thine own name, those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are.
Yeah.
That's, you know, I mean, you also know in the Old Testament, the Lord your God is one, O Israel.
Amen.
We're supposed to be getting closer and closer to Christ, who is God, so we're getting closer and closer to God, so we're getting closer and closer to each other.
Amen. Amen. Great point, brother. Before Brother Kuo chimes in, so was that, when I mentioned about how we're in the ecclesia, you're of Christ, and you're in the body of Christ. And then when I read that verse, it talks about how we're one of another. That just kind of jumped out at me because I think I know that, you know, in my theology, I know that. But I just thought about that. I thought, wow, my brothers and sisters I know that we are united to. And I thought, not only are we in Christ in this body, but we're like one of each other. That just kind of hit me kind of profound. Does that hit any of you guys kind of profound to kind of, if you know it already, but to rethink that and go, wow, we're like one of another. We're connected together, all through Christ, but it's not all just Christ. It's also now us connected to each other. That just kind of struck me.
Well, we're all nourished from the head, from the body. And I love how you talked about the hand, foot, eyes, nose, all working together.
Yeah.
And you're talking about body life or life in the ecclesia.
Yeah.
On that point, did you read Colossians 2 talking about that?
I don't think so, brother.
Okay, I'll just read it real quick. Let's see. Colossians 2:19. And not holding the head, from which all the body by joints and bands having nourishment ministered and knit together, increaseth with the increase of God.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that knitting together, I think that's really cool. How we're all joined together and just, yeah, that's awesome. All increasing with the increase of God. That's a cool
thought. Yeah, and you know what? You can't get there by an hour and a half on Sunday morning. If you don't pour your lives into each other, you're never going to have what God requires of us. You're never going to have what fully glorifies Him. It's kind of like having a marriage and just coming together a couple hours a week. Hey, how you doing? It's good to see you again. And then you go and part your own ways. I mean, how close are you going to be? You're not. You're in lip only. And I think everybody sees the benefits. You know what's amazing to me? The exact thing that everybody needs, like this last person we dealt with, which I'll leave nameless, the exact thing they need in the close body life is what they fight against. And that is human nature. I get it. The flesh. But what people need is accountability and closeness and to be washed in the word with other believers and to be encouraged and to be brought along in their weaknesses. And we got the strength there and maybe they got strength and again, bring us, help us in our weaknesses. The very thing they need, they stand against. It's like Satan has a way to trick them to go, don't do that. No, I know it's what you need. Don't do it. Don't do it. And I see that. I've seen that throughout our ministry. The very thing I know someone needs, they won't do it. And the body life can bring that to them. Through Christ.
I have the verse pulled up. Galatians 6:2. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ.
Amen. Yeah. Weep with those who weep. Hold each other's arms up. Rejoice when there's rejoicing. I mean, we'll go through everything together. Somebody's going to die. Brother Zelos brought that up not too long ago. Somebody's going to die in our body. And everybody's going to go through that together. Babies are going to be born, hopefully, Lord willing, or if it's His will. Babies are going to be born. Praise God for that. So everything that we go through will be together, and that's an awesome thing.
Yeah, did you read 1 Corinthians 12?
No. There were so many I could have read. I'd still be reading.
Yeah, this ties into what you were talking about. We're part of one another.
Yeah.
It says that God tempered the body together, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. It's such an awesome picture. It is awesome. It's kind of, sometimes it sinks in a little deeper that we're actually in Christ. I'm just going to jump off trail here. I like the picture presented in John 15. Where Christ is the vine and we are His branches, His members. Do you realize that if a tree has branches and limbs coming off the trunk, those branches are also a part, because they're part of the tree, they're part of one another.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. You cut off, and again, you cut off this part hurts. You cut off, you hurt this part hurts. You honor this part, they all rejoice. It's tied and entwined together, and this is what God intended.
Yeah.
And man-made religions, Satan, the enemy, man, the flesh, they corrupt that and turn it into, they seek unity in all the wrong things. And what God actually ordained, the true beauty of it, the beauty of holiness, they reject. It's so ironic.
Yeah. Yeah, and like in the true ecclesia, you get to know somebody and you consider them your brother and or sister, and you're in the faith with them. And if they were to go away, well, if they would die, you miss them, you rejoice, they have the great hope. But if they were to go away, like say fall back into sin and all that type of stuff, you grieve over that. There's like a big spot of there's a spot in your life missing, because you've come to be fond of that person and you love that person and you care for them. And it's not like, oh, well, we'll find somebody else. It's like, no, this is emotion and love, fervent love and care for people. They're like a part of you. And when they leave, it's like a part of you is missing. And I know, without going into the detail, that my wife and I can testify that when we've been united to people in the past, and when there was division, and if you were close to them and you had a fondness and you were building up that, we've separated from people that we never had that closeness and fondness because they had issues and we never got there. When they leave, you still miss them, you love them, but there's not quite that hole, that gaping, that gut feeling or that bowel. I'll say gut, not gut, bowels. Deep in your heart, your bowels, there's like a hurting, and it never goes away. It never goes away until you can redeem it. Yeah, God can heal it. God can, you know, maybe not make it hurt so much, but it's just a wound. It's a wound, and it scars over. And so, yeah, it's a beautiful thing when people can draw together and hold close to the things of God in the body life. So I just wanted to bring some of those building blocks of what we can keep focusing on as a body to keep ourselves strong, healthy, for the Lord's glory. Anything else on this, brothers?
I just want to point out how that happens. The reason you get knit so close and the reason you have that unity in Christ, I believe a huge part of it is Hebrews 3:13. Exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin.
Yeah.
The body of Christ was designed, and the daily exhortation, the admonishment, the encouragement, that's when you get to know somebody, their weaknesses, their strengths. You can rejoice with them in their victories and in their growth. You can grieve with them and help them when they're struggling with something. That's where it happens. But again, the churchianity system rejects all that and regulates it down to this formality ritual at best.
Yeah.
And people are never going to get that without doing it God's way.
Yeah. And I'm happy to report that the people we know in our fellowship, we don't have a perfect fellowship. None of us are perfect. But we're striving to be perfect, but we're not there yet. We're working on it, all of us. I love that everyone is teachable, correctable. They have a heart for the things of God. And that makes it so much easier. When you see something lacking, you can go to that person and bring it up and say, can I talk to you about this, brother or sister? And you bring it up and it's addressed and you're either corrected and go, no, it's not that way, you're seeing it wrong, or yeah, I see it, I need to work on that, I'm gonna get better at that for God. And that's the beauty of when you get a whole bunch of like-minded people. When you get like-minded people, yeah, sin can come in, I get it, and there can be issues, you're always going to have that somewhat, but like-minded people in Christ, guess what, they know how to deal with issues. And sin won't reign because it's going to be rooted out, because true saints don't keep willful sin. So it's a glorious thing. And I'm happy to report, for anybody listening in, our fellowship does not carry a lot of the things I've seen in the past with people claiming that they are in Christ and have left churchianity. We're pretty blessed that we have everybody striving and really trying and working towards honoring God, living worthy lives, loving each other, being faithful, being diligent. That's a beautiful thing to behold. So I'm thankful to that. I have much, Sister Ram and I have much thankfulness for the saints that we know and we're united to.
Amen.
And we rejoice with you all for all the good things that's happening, and we'll be ready to weep with you when sad things happen. We'll be there. If the Lord wills, we'll be there. You might be weeping over one of us. Who knows? If we're there, We will be there. So yeah, it's a beautiful thing, and I give God all the glory. He's put us all where we were, And he's the one that made it possible for all of us to meet and to overcome all of the issues that was maybe keeping us apart. And, yeah, the very thing that people need, they reject and they hold out on. And it's so sad, but we can just be examples and show it and invite people to come. Invite people to come and lose your life. Come, be a part of something that God's created that's beautiful. And come be a servant. We're all servants to each other. Amen, brothers and sisters?
Amen.
Yeah. Anything else on life in the ecclesia? There's a lot more we could go over, but just what I covered or any other thoughts?
I'll throw in just a thought quick about pride. Just dealing with that one person we were dealing with lately, and reading 1 Peter 5:5, likewise ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Ye all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. That's the biggest sin that Satan uses to keep people out of biblical fellowship is pride.
Yeah.
I believe, because especially young men, young women, and whatnot, they think they have it all figured out. Believe me, I was there. And they don't want to drop that preconception, like I have knowledge and wisdom and that you don't have, and I should be a teacher. And yeah, so I just wanted to throw that in.
That's a great point, brother. And it is kind of pride can be in anybody, as you said. Young people tend to have it because they have less experience. Older people can have it too. But you're right, that mindset that ready, they come and they say, I know what I know. And they hold on to that in pride rather than saying, let me test what I know to the Word of God. Maybe I'm wrong. And we all should test what we know to the Word of God to make sure we learn from the Word of God. And then by just automatically, we're testing what we know. We're learning from the Word of God, testing what we know. I want to bring up one word real quick. When you first said that, I thought you said the word bride when you said pride. And I want to bring this up. Ready? So let's all watch ourselves and always be striving. Ready? We're the bride of Christ. He's our bridegroom. Think about this. Us men that are married, we look after our brides. We protect them. We're jealous over them. We should be. We look after them. We support them. Okay? God's a jealous God, so it's okay to be jealous for your wife. She's yours. Or jealous for a husband. Hopefully there's not jealousy going on. I don't think we have those issues. But we look after our brides. And that's a good thing. That's something every man should do. But think about this, as we're in the body, as we look after each other, we're looking after the bride of Christ who he shed his blood for. That's a whole nother level of bride. So when we're taking care of each other, dealing with each other, daily encouraging each other, we're taking care of the bride of Christ that he shed his blood for. You ponder that, and I'll tell you, you will treat your brothers and sisters the way God wants you to treat them, when you realize that you are dealing with the bride of Christ. How do you want somebody to handle your bride? How do you want somebody to deal your bride? We should be taking care of God's bride, absolutely, the bride of Christ, the best we can, with all fervor, love, and zeal. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. I have a thought that you just brought up, saying that, so we realize that, okay, this is another really awesome part, and it kind of knits your hearts even closer to the saints you see striving in truth. There is nothing on this world that we're going to be able to take with us to the next. Not even marriage is going to be in heaven, but the saints that we know, if we help one another endure and we overcome, we can take them to heaven with us.
Amen.
They're going to be with
us. Amen. That's why, yep, I just brought that up with the young people that are looking at marriage. I said, make sure you look at yourself as brother and sister, because that's eternal. Marriage is awesome, but it only lasts a few decades on earth. Your brother and sister eternally, so it's a good thing to keep that in mind. That's why Sister Amma and I call each other that, because it helps keep us leveled on really the even higher calling. Marriage is great. But there would be no marriage in heaven, as Jesus said. The higher calling is looking after the bride of Christ and making sure they make it across the finish line. Good point, Brother Zelos.
Amen. Yeah.
Anything else, brothers?
No, that was all I had.
That's all I had.
That's all I had.
All right. We will have this up in the Ecclesia Gathering area, and it'll go along with that teaching. And we'll be talking more about life in the body of Christ, the Ecclesia. It's a really good concept. When you're in the streets, last thought, when you're in the streets, it's really great to tell people, instead of we're part of a church, to explain to them the idea of the called out ones. And a lot of people ask you, what are you called out from? The world, false doctrine, our flesh, pride, vanity. And it kind of just sets the tone that we are following the way and we're not following something that they can even put their finger on. And anyone who's seeking will say, I got to look into that. And if they go in the scriptures and start looking, it's all over the scriptures how we're to be the called out ones of Christ. So thanks for the discussion, brothers. I hope this edified everyone listening, and I know it glorified our Father.